This morning, America's First News starts right after this. When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Health insurance on life support. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koschenka. It is Tuesday, July 18. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
With the defection of two more Republican senators, legislation to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act is defeated. Hear what lawmakers will attempt to do next.
The Trump administration has certified that Iran is complying with the controversial nuclear agreement, but new sanctions are still planned.
Authorities are trying to figure out why a cop in Minneapolis shot an Australian woman who had called 911 and why body cameras were not on.
And things that can derail your retirement savings.
Well, fees, of course, are a big one. This is, you know, over the course of a career, there have been various reports that show it's somebody who's paying 1% in fees versus 0.25% in fees. You know, it's going to cost you, depending on how much you make, easily, you know, almost $100,000 extra over the course of your career savings.
Kelly Grant at CNBC.com on three problems that can throw your retirement plans out of whack. She's here in about 20 minutes. The effort to roll back and replace the Affordable Care Act is over. After the defections of two more Republican senators yesterday, GOP leaders were left well shy of the votes needed to pass it. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Senators Mike Lee of Utah and Jerry Moran of Kansas last evening became the third and fourth Republicans to oppose the latest version of the GOP bill. Mr. Moran said the bill fails to repeal the Affordable Care Act or address health care's rising costs. The new strategy is now to have the Senate vote on a bill that had passed in late 2015 to simply repeal most of Obamacare, a bill vetoed by former President Obama. Conservatives and President Trump have pressed to repeat the vote on that bill, which would allow 2 years to find a replacement. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Last night, the White House issued a statement that repeated a stance that President Trump's officials have taken in recent days, that GOP senators have no choice but to act, saying insurance markets continue to collapse and premiums continue to rise. Investigators are trying to figure out how an Australian woman who called 911 to report what she believed to be an active sexual assault was shot and killed by a Minneapolis police officer. The victim, Justine DeMond, was a meditation teacher and bride-to-be. The Minneapolis Star Tribune says Ms. DeMond was shot Saturday from the passenger window of the patrol car while standing alongside it.
Our hearts are broken, and we are utterly devastated by the loss of Justine.
Her fiancé, Don DeMond.
Sadly, her family and I have been provided with almost no additional information from law enforcement regarding what happened after police arrived.
Local media identified the officer as Mohammed Noor, a Somali-American with 2 years on the force. Mr. Noor was sued earlier this year, by the way, after he and other officers took a woman to the hospital for an apparent mental health crisis. The lawsuit claims he and the other cops violated the woman's rights when they entered her home without permission, and Officer Noor grabbed her wrist and upper arm. The Trump administration says it has notified Congress that Iran is complying with the international nuclear deal reached 2 years ago, but the fate of the agreement remains uncertain, and it is still under review. The Wall Street Journal says notification came last night despite a push by some within the administration during the day to refuse to certify Iran's compliance. Here's this morning's Dave Duncan.
Despite the certification, the Journal says the Trump administration is expected to reveal today that it's leveling additional sanctions related to Iran's ballistic missile program and other behavior it considers destabilizing, like support for terrorist groups, support of Syria's president, and the arbitrary jailing of American citizens. Over the weekend, Iran sentenced an American academic to 10 years in prison on spying charges. There are several other Americans in Iranian custody. Gordon?
Thank you, Dave. It is 11 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When you don't have a big marketing budget, you have to wait until the opportunity is just right. Well, consider this your opportunity alarm going off. Vistaprint's semi-annual sale has arrived with up to 50% off site-wide, including custom t-shirts, postcards, and even our new A-frame signs. And if you've been waiting for our newest business card options like square cards, now's the time to get huge savings on them too. Make the most of this opportunity. Go to Vistaprint.com by July 25th and enter the promo code SAVEBIG.
Republican tax negotiators believe they are closing in on an agreement to overhaul the U.S. tax code, but there are significant sticking points. Joseph Lawler, economics reporter at the Washington Examiner, says this is sort of like a married couple agreeing to buy a car but disagreeing on the make, model, and color. Joe, one sticking point is whether tax cuts should be permanent or temporary. How come?
Basically, anytime you start to look at doing tax reform, the big issue that comes up is, will this lose revenues for the federal government? And because of Senate procedure, if it does, it may have to be temporary. And a lot of Republican senators and the Trump administration seem to be okay with that. They think that a tax cut is a tax cut, and it's good even if it only lasts for 9 or 10 years. But House Republicans, including Paul Ryan, who's worked on tax reform for a long time, really believe that a permanent rewrite of the tax code is crucial, because they think that when you're talking about the really big corporate investments, for instance, those are made on like a 10 or 20 year timeline, and that these investment officers need to know what the tax code is going to be 5, 10, 15 years ahead in order to make these really big changes that can drive economic growth. So it's really a priority for them.
What are some of the other hurdles that are being faced here?
Oh, there's a lot. You know, the huge thing is that anytime, so the basic idea is they want to lower tax rates for individuals and corporations, and they want to pay for that by eliminating tax breaks. But for every tax break, there's a special interest backing it up. So we've seen a huge fight here recently over a lot of different ones, including border adjustment, this idea of a kind of import tax. The retail industry has rebelled against that idea and pretty much put it on life support. One big one is the deduction for state and local taxes paid. That's a huge $1 trillion-plus tax break over a decade, and a lot of mayors and governors don't want to lose it, and the housing industry also doesn't want to lose that one. So it's kind of, those are two examples of lobbying battles that are going on behind the scenes right now, trying to get their voices heard in these closed-door meetings.
We're speaking with Joseph Lawler, economics reporter at the Washington Examiner. His piece is called The Big Tax Questions Facing the Big Six. That's a group of men who are working on a reform proposal. What are the odds, I guess, at this point they can strike a deal? Any feel for that?
I wouldn't try to put odds on it. You know, I went back and I spoke to some of the negotiators who were involved in the 1986 tax reform, which was the last time this was done. And the message they gave me was, nothing is decided until it's all decided. And once the lead negotiators reach agreement, then suddenly it can all be done quickly. In 1986, once the agreement was made on how low the rates were going and which breaks were going to be cut, they actually wrote the legislation in 2 days, in one weekend of long work.
Really?
So if it all comes together, it'll come together very quickly at the end. But, you know, whether that happens.
All right. So what are some of the other debates we might hear about as this goes on?
Well, permanency versus a temporary tax cut is a big one. Another one, which you're hearing from some members of the House Freedom Caucus, that group of hardline conservatives in the House, is just about the overall, if this plan does lose revenues because it doesn't cut enough breaks to pay for those tax rates, can you pay for it with cutting spending elsewhere? These conservatives would be happy to see a very steep tax cut and spending cuts to go along with it. But then you're asking some of the more centrist members to do two things they don't want to do, you know, cutting taxes and cutting some of that spending, which a lot of interest groups also favor. So it's kind of like double the political risk. That should be an interesting development to see how that works out in the House, where that's kind of a centrist versus conservative issue there.
Yeah.
This week, there's going to be a budget meeting, and to mark up the fiscal year 2018 budget in the House, and that's actually supposed to be the vehicle for tax reform. To get it through procedurally with only 51 votes in the Senate, you need that budget agreement. So some of these issues might start to play out at that budget committee hearing this week.
Thanks, Joe. It's Joseph Lawler, economics reporter at The Washington Examiner. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, the latest Senate effort to repeal and replace Obamacare was hanging by a suture, but even that seems to have snapped with the defection overnight of conservative Senators Mike Lee of Utah and Jerry Moran of Kansas. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the next step would be to vote on a bill to simply repeal Obamacare with a two-year delay. The family of a woman who was shot and killed by Minneapolis police is pleading for information about the last moments of her life. Justine Demond's heartbroken fiancé told those gathered at a vigil she summoned police herself with the best of intentions.
It was Justine who called 911 on Saturday evening, reporting what she believed was an active sexual assault occurring nearby.
Police body cams were not activated at the time. The department has ordered a full investigation. Attorney General Jeff Sessions was coincidentally in Minneapolis yesterday speaking to a conference of prosecutors. He promises not to make law enforcement's job more difficult than it already is, but stresses the laws apply to all.
We will aggressively prosecute federal or state officers who violate civil rights of our citizens. That can never be accepted.
Sessions also vowed to not just fight illegal immigration, but to end it. The latest change to President Trump's Muslim ban comes in a memo sent to U.S. diplomats overseas dated last Friday. Reuters got a look and reports it specifies that grandparents of U.S. citizens from six Muslim-majority countries facing travel restrictions to the U.S. may now obtain visas. European Union foreign ministers have agreed to restrict exports of inflatable rubber boats and outboard motors to Libya in an effort to curb the smuggling of migrants. The restrictions won't apply to legitimate businesses such as fishing crews, but it's not clear how that law will be enforced. What to do with all those recalled fire-prone Galaxy Note 7 smartphones from last year? Cannibalize them for their insides. Samsung expects to retrieve 150 tons of gold, silver, cobalt, copper, and other metals from millions of the units and separate display models, memory chips, and other components for sales or recycling.
Just to clarify, 150 tons?
Yeah, that was a lot of recalled phones. They recalled every single one.
Just of guts, not of phones. 150 tons of guts.
Refined guts.
Wow. It's a big number. Thanks, Rasa. 23 minutes after the hour. Time now for a finance update, and it's brought to you by Lexington Hotels. Get away and save up to 30% at participating Lexington and Red Lion Hotels when you book by September 4th. Book your hotel stay and save today. Every dollar counts when it comes to retirement savings because maintaining your current lifestyle is no easy feat in retirement. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com says small cuts to that money can make a big difference in how well you're able to stay on track. Cuts like fees, for example. Kelly set this up.
Well, we know that it's about half of working age households are at risk of being unable to maintain their current standard of living in retirement. So when you're looking at your retirement savings, for a lot of folks, it's that sort of every dollar matters, and you need to be really cautious about how you're saving and where you're putting that money to meet those retirement goals. So we looked at a couple of things that could essentially derail you from hitting those goals that might be able to, you might be able to tweak your behavior or where you've got your money to handle.
All right. So what kind of problems are we looking at here?
Well, fees, of course, are a big one. I mean, this is, you know, over the course of a career, there have been various reports that show it's somebody who's paying 1% in fees versus 0.25% in fees, you know, it's going to cost you, depending on how much you make, easily, you know, almost $100,000 extra over the course of your career savings. It's like having to work three extra years to retire with the same amount of money as somebody in a low fee account. Mm. So you want to be paying really close attention to that. You know, if you've got particular account fees, fund fees, all of those different things within your workplace retirement accounts, to have a sense of, you know, if you need to be tweaking your investments there or even potentially looking at other options outside your 401k.
All right. So that does require some work on your part, right? You got to read through some of that that fine print or perhaps examine the statement closely when it comes via email or in traditional mail.
It can be, sadly, quite a lot of work to figure that out, but it is important and worth doing.
All right. What other mistakes could trip us up?
Well, if you are thinking about retiring early, or rather, early enough that you might trigger some early withdrawal penalties on your retirement account, you know, it's worth it to, you know, try to strategize earlier in terms of your savings to figure out how you could work around that.
We're speaking with Kelly Grant, consumer reporter at CNBC.com. She's also a certified financial planner and has written a piece entitled Three Problems That Can Knock Your Retirement Plans Off Track. All right, so one that I was not aware of here, these expensive HSA, health savings account fees.
Yes, so if you have a health savings account, and this is essentially it pairs with a high deductible health plan, you can take those contributions, and they're tax deductible, they grow tax free, and can be withdrawn tax free for qualified medical expenses. And they've become sort of a stealth retirement savings account for a lot of folks as well, because you can invest those funds and let them grow year over year, and you know maybe use that for healthcare costs in retirement if you're careful about how you use the money. But Morningstar had recently done an assessment of just 10 of the large HSAs that are out there, and they found some account maintenance fees that can really vary pretty widely.
Thanks, Kelly. Kelly Grant at CNBC.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Small business never stops moving, so Dell's U.S.-based small business technology advisors are trained to keep up. Just call 877-BUY-DELL to get connected with an advisor who will get to know your business and tailor a solution with Dell PCs powered by Intel Core processors that is right for you, so you can focus on your business and leave the tech questions to Dell. Call 877-BUY-DELL to get in touch with a tech advisor today. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and defense. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org. Well, a national craving for bacon is pushing U.S. pork belly prices to record highs, up around 80% this year. Another stat, we bought around 14% more bacon at stores in 2016 than in 2013, a pace that is sizzling, if you will. How long will the craze last? Here's Wall Street Journal reporter Benjamin Parkin in Chicago. Ben, what's up here?
Well, basically, people love eating bacon. It's gone from being a kind of a flavor enhancer, or a condiment, as it were, you know, something you might sprinkle on a salad or put on a burger, to a standalone kind of piece of people, you know, part of people's diet. And that means that these frozen reserves, which are kind of what help keep prices stable, have fallen to the lowest they've ever been. I think it's been more or less that way this entire year. And prices have been soaring recently, and the last week just touched a new record. Pig herds are swelling, but not fast enough to restock these freezers and get prices kind of under control again. But that may change going into the fall.
Wow. All right. So what does that mean for us consumers at the store? We're paying more as well, I guess.
Well, I mean, I think we're talking about, you know, a couple of cents, a pack or a slice or whatever it is. I think it's a pretty negligible difference for consumers at the moment, though, you know, it's retailers, you know, restaurants and wholesalers who are getting squeezed. And, you know, that could start to translate into higher prices, in the grocery store. But I think I shouldn't be too worried for now.
All right. So why the potential change in the fall that you mentioned?
Well, it's just that, you know, bacon's traditionally been a summery kind of thing, you know, BLTs and grills and that kind of summery diet. People are saying, well, you know, just this craze has gone on for so long, bacon's become so popular now that we may not see the little slide in demand that we're used to seeing as the summer ends. So we'll see. I don't know. I mean, I don't plan on eating less bacon at the end of the summer.
We're speaking with Benjamin Parkin, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. He's written a piece entitled America's Lust for Bacon is Pushing Pork Belly Prices to Records. Did you say, too, that there are actually festivals that are kind of centered on bacon these days?
Yeah, I think there's one in Chicago, if I'm not mistaken, Bacon Fest. It's just, you know, I mean, I was reading online about, you know, bacon cook-offs and all that kind of thing, you know, seeing how the most creative ways you can use bacon. I'm reading about a food website that's hired a dedicated bacon critic. I think, yeah, people are pretty into it.
All right, so I got to ask about this one portion of the story where you say the part of the pig that produces bacon. Do we want to know what that is?
Well, that's the pork belly. So, you know, which is the kind of the fatty, fatty cut traditionally, you know, has been kind of considered inferior to something like a, you know, a tenderloin. But you cure that, and that's how you get bacon. Bacon's basically just cured pork belly.
And so the pork bellies themselves, I guess, are up, but so are the carcass and the loin, which are some of the other parts of the pig?
When we're looking at the price of a pork belly, I mean, that has knock-on effects for the broader, you know, the carcass, which is, you know, the sort of the wholesale, all the meats lumped together. That has consequences for the price of live hogs, and that has consequences for the price of the futures market.
Any restaurants trying to control bacon on their own, making it thinner or giving out less of it, things like that?
Well, I don't know specific examples, but I mean that's what happens if you're a restaurant and you're getting slammed. Prices have risen 80% this year. They're from 100, you know, they've doubled since December. So, you know, if you're paying twice as much, you're going to try and find, you know, ways to get around that. Whether it's promoting another kind of fatty meat like sausage, which, you know, can sort of replicate the sensation of eating bacon as a, you know, in certain dishes, or you know, trying to do something sneaky. He likes slicing it thinner and thinner.
Thanks, Ben. Wall Street Journal reporter Benjamin Parkin in Chicago. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, baseball fans know that there are plenty of times when it's a good idea to take a pitch. An elaborate baseball-themed gender reveal party, however, is not one of them. That's what we learned from a clip that has been going viral the past day or so, in which a mother and father are using a baseball bat and color-filled baseball to reveal the gender of their upcoming child. The mother and father don't know the gender, but a friend set the stage for them to find out in dramatic fashion. One ball was filled with pink powder, another with blue powder. Mom threw the pitch at dad, who was supposed to hit it, sending gender-specific powder flying all over so everyone with them could celebrate the forthcoming boy or girl.
Very exciting. So what happens, Mike? What happens when the pitch comes?
The problem is, Dad, who is an Atlanta sportscaster named Kyle Tate, is apparently a very selective hitter and let the chest-high pitch fall to the ground.
What?
It shattered, revealing that the couple would be expecting a daughter, though not the way it was planned. Kyle later posted a video of his gaffe on Twitter with the caption, "Walks don't count at gender reveal parties."
He let the pitch go.
Not only did he let it go, but it fell, it broke, and it didn't even look like he looked down to even see what the color was. He was just like, "What? You threw it at my chest. How was I supposed to swing at that?" He was very upset about where the pitch was.
He was trying to think about what's coming with a 1-0 count.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, exactly.
He couldn't fight it off with his fist like a little jam shot to kind of excite the crowd. He let the pitch fall to the ground.
That you know, would have been probably the preferable move.
Wow.
Yes, yes. Yeah. You know, be more Aaron Judge than Barry Bonds in that situation.
I mean, if you're at bat in that situation, you got to imagine you're down 0-2.
Right.
Drop it. He's a right-handed hitter. Drop the left foot back.
Right.
And give yourself a shot at least hitting the ball off the lower handle of the bat.
There's a hit and run on.
Come on.
You got to make contact.
Jeez Louise.
And in more viral video news, a resident director who lives in a dorm at a college in southern Illinois has taught his dog to do something we all wish we could do, bark in a whisper. Brian Gertler lives in an apartment with his wife and one-year-old dog named Dudley inside a freshman dorm at Greenville University, about 50 miles east of St. Louis. According to local TV reports, Brian found that Dudley's excited bark when they played together was waking up the students at night. He also noticed that Dudley didn't bark out loud during a game of fetch because he was winded from running back and forth. The 24-year-old says he slowly trained the dog to bark in a whisper. That means the pair can play in a much quieter way. He even posted a video clip, though a warning first, you'll struggle to hear Dudley the dog at all in this exchange.
Speak. Speak. Speak, 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 speak. Good boy.
So the dog is actually moving his mouth, like looks like he's barking,
oh,
but no noise is really coming out. That's pretty great. Cool. That's great. I like that idea.
He needs to launch a small business right now.
Yes.
How to train your dog to bark in a whisper.
Yes.
At the right times.
Right.
Yeah.
There are times. Yeah. I mean, if someone's coming through the window,
right.
A robber or something,
yeah.
Sure. You want him to bark. But in most situations, a whisper bark is just fine.
How about that? Very good. Good story. Thank you, Mike. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Just because you got an A from your teacher doesn't mean you're learning more. That's the skinny from some new research, which finds more high school teachers are handing out A's, even though SAT scores have fallen. Recent findings show that the proportion of high school seniors graduating with an A average has grown sharply over the past generation. In 1998, about 39% of us. By last year, it had grown to 47%. That's right. Nearly half of America's class of 2016 are A students. Meanwhile, their average SAT score fell from 1,026 to 1,002. It's 8 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon saying they couldn't put a stamp of approval on bad policy. Republican Senators Mike Lee of Utah and Jerry Moran of Kansas joined Susan Collins of Maine and Rand Paul of Kentucky in publicly opposing the Senate bill to repeal Obamacare. By announcing their opposition at the same time, neither could be seen as the decisive no vote. The bill couldn't afford to lose more than two Republican votes. Indiana State Police have released a sketch of the man they believe killed two teenage girls on a hiking trail near Delphi in central Indiana back in February. Sergeant Kim Riley.
We feel it is the same person, and we just want to make sure that people realize that picture is this person, we're hoping, and that they can get that picture and take that picture and get us some information on a possible suspect.
The composite is a result of numerous tips. Authorities and activists are questioning why Minneapolis police, who fatally shot an Australian woman over the weekend after she called in a possible sexual assault near her home, didn't have their body cameras turned on. Justine Damon's death made headlines across Australia. That country's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade is providing consular assistance to her family. A white former policeman has been indicted on a murder charge by a Texas grand jury in the shooting death of an unarmed black teenager in a Dallas suburb in April. Roy Oliver fired into the car driving away from a party where police had responded to reports of underage drinking, striking 15-year-old Jordan Edwards in the head. Oliver was fired days later. In a ceremony on the White House lawn, President Trump announced Made in America Week to celebrate products made here at home.
Made in the USA. Remember in the old days, they used to have Made in the USA? Made in America, but Made in the USA. We're going to start doing that again. We're going to put that brand on our product because it means it's the best.
The Department of Homeland Security is approving a one-time increase of 15,000 additional visas for low-wage seasonal workers for the rest of this fiscal year, following heavy lobbying from fisheries, hospitality, and other industries that rely on temporary foreign workers. The increase represents a 45% bump from the number of H-2B visas normally issued for the second half of the fiscal year. The cast for Tim Burton's live-action reboot of the classic 41 Disney film Dumbo is set. Michael Keaton, Colin Farrell, Danny DeVito, and Eva Green will star. You'll see it in March 2019.
Thanks, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Well, you may have a passing interest in the solar eclipse next month, but you should at least pretend to be fired up if you encounter Mike Kentrianakis at the Hayden Planetarium in New York City. He's there as an emissary of the American Astronomical Society, spreading the word. On August 21, the moon will pass between the sun and Earth, casting a shadow across a path of the United States. The spectacle will be like nothing most people have ever seen. And Mr. Kentrianakis would know. The Washington Post says he's witnessed 20 solar eclipses in his 52 years, missing work, straining relationships. He's been to a mountaintop in Argentina, a jungle in Gabon, and an ice field north of the Arctic Circle to watch them. Last year, he watched from an airplane 36,000 feet above the Pacific Ocean. The video of his reaction went viral, cementing his status as a crazy eclipse guy. That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and we'd love to hear from you. Leave a review and comment for us on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.